We read the passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 8 this morning. The message this morning is focused upon those words, "Oh, to be like thee, to be conformed to the likeness of Christ." Your spiritual journey, my spiritual journey, the goal of our spiritual walk is to be more like Christ. To be more like Christ in all areas of our life. As Christians, as disciples, as children of Christ, the Bible would teach, and we believe this, that there isn't a piece of my life that I can put in a little safety deposit box or a little box at home and put duct tape on it and stick it in the corner of my life and say, "God, don't touch it." As Christians, we surrender all to God and we allow Him to speak to us, to teach us, to correct us, rebuke us. Several weeks ago, we spoke on the church word sanctification. And this is at the very foundation of that teaching in Scripture, is that we surrender to Christ. And in surrendering to Him, we want to be more like Him. In my opinion, I know it's just my opinion, and it's an uneducated opinion, but it's a learned opinion through experience, that many, if not all, of the conflicts and disagreements in families, at work, and here at church, happen because of personality differences. And if you agree with that, just shake your head. Okay? It's true. It's true. Most of the conflicts and disagreements that we have in the church, in your home, at work, wherever you're at, center around personality differences. So, we're going to talk about personalities this morning. And I believe it's an important topic. No matter where you are at on a personality test chart, no matter where you're at, and I have one to give you when the service is over, our goal as Christians is to be more like Christ. Absolutely. Nobody else. Don't be like Michael Jordan. Don't be like Drew Brees. Don't be like somebody, you know. Our goal as Christians is to accept whatever He gives us to make us more like Christ. Amen? Anybody agree with that? Maybe I'm speaking to the wrong crowd. That's my belief, and I believe that that's taught in Scripture, okay? So, do you know Christ better today than you did yesterday? Do you know Christ better? Does He know you better today than you did a week ago? And when we describe someone, we cover things like height, weight, hair, dominating physical features like a big nose, big ears. That's how we describe each other. But I will say to you that eventually, if that doesn't nail it down, eventually we're going to get to personality. We're going to get to personalities. We're going to talk about somebody at that very personal level, the personality traits. What are your personality traits? Our personality traits will match our spiritual testimony. Just think about that. Ponder that. And if you don't believe that statement, I believe at the end of the message this morning, you're going to say that that is very true. Our personality traits, your spiritual testimony, are tied together. They are absolutely tied together. For most of us, that's a task. That's a task before us. It is something that Jesus taught. Paul preached it. The Holy Spirit is doing it in our lives when you surrender to Him. He is making your personality match your spiritual testimony. Or we can flip that around and say your spiritual testimony matches your personality. Very true statement. Very true statement. Well, Do you want to be more like Jesus? Anybody here want to be more like Jesus? I want to see your hands. I will not continue until I see your hands raised. Okay? Now I know I'm speaking to a friendly crowd. All right? All right, so we want to all be like Jesus, right? Do you want to look like Jesus? Well, we really don't know what he looked like, so that's out of the equation, right? So in the realm of looking like Jesus, I don't see any of you that are probably anywhere close to that. All right? How many want to be educated like Jesus? Again, we can go back to tradition, but we really don't know how Jesus was educated. So in the realm of being like Jesus, we can't go to his looks. We can't go to his education. There's really no other way for us to want to be like Jesus unless we look at Scripture. Who is Jesus Christ? Take the physical out of the realm, out of possibility. We're not even going to talk about that. So, do you want to talk like Jesus? Do you want to listen like Jesus? Do you want to act like Jesus? That's in the realm of being like Jesus. You can't be like Jesus and not talk like him. You can't be like Jesus and not listen like him. You can't be like Jesus and not act like him. It's all connected. It's a part of your very spiritual being inside of you. Well, then let's get down to some details. What would Jesus' personality look like? I've had some notes from this sermon sitting on my desk for probably 2 to 3 years. And the title of it was, "Is it better to be an extrovert as a Christian or an introvert?" As I was reading that and re-looking that over a couple of weeks ago, I decided that that was very shallow. That doesn't cut it. Okay? So I set that aside. So we're going to go even deeper than that. Because you can't just say, "Oh, I'm going to be an extrovert or I'm going to be an introvert." That doesn't cut. Personality-wise, there's some people. A Myers-Briggs, it's a very common personality test. Anybody here ever taken the Myers-Briggs? Okay. How many times in your life have you taken a personality test? Once? How many have taken it once? How many have taken the test twice? I think in my life, I've taken it 4 times. And you know what? Every time I take it, I find that I've changed a little bit. I've changed a little bit. So, at the end of the service, when I pass those personality test things, don't tell me, "Well, I've already taken that. I don't need to do it again." You're lying to yourself because you have changed. You're not the person you were 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Especially if you claim to be a Christian, okay? Because I believe the Holy Spirit is working in our lives to change us all the time. Well, anyway, the Myers-Briggs people came up with four preferences, four personality types, and each type has 2 categories. The first would be the extrovert or introvert piece. The second would be sensing, or are you an intuitive person? Intuition. You just kind of work with it. The third category would be between thinking and feeling. Are you a thinking person or are you a feeling person? And then the fourth category of the Myers-Briggs personality charting is judgment or perception. Judgment or perception. So that's the Myers-Briggs personality profile test. Well, since the Bible tells us that we are created in the image of God, and I believe that we all believe that. We are created in the image of God. We have a personality. Is there anybody here that doesn't have a personality? Okay? All right? We're all there, right? You got one. So this is for everybody. If you don't think you have a personality, you have one. Just saying that you don't have one says that you have one. Well, if we are all created by God, and we're made in His image, and then He sent His Son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, guess what? Jesus had a personality too. Jesus had a personality too. Just like you, just like me. Maybe His was a little more perfect, but then we're going to talk about that, okay? And if you're going to get a look, if you want to find out who Jesus was, in the realm of personality, Again, we're talking about wanting to be like Jesus. And we said, well, I can't be like Jesus in looks. I can't be like Jesus in education. I'm not going to be a carpenter. So throw all that out. How can I be like Jesus? It's all in the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm is personality. Again, the personality and the person and your spiritual are intermixed. They are locked together. Well, we're going to look at the Gospels. The Gospels. The four Gospels give us a fairly clear picture of how Jesus acted and reacted, giving different life situations. And so we're going to look at these categories, and we're going to pull from that, and we're going to come up with Jesus Christ's personality profile. Take a deep breath. Well, was Jesus an extrovert or an introvert? Now, an extrovert is one that, he or she... they're sort of like the ever-ready bunny. And there's no off switch. They're always on. They're always on. They're always on. They're always going. They're always looking for somebody to talk to. In fact, they'll butt in on a conversation just so they can give their piece of it too. Not very good listeners, usually. They're extroverts. They're always on the go. They're looking for something to do. They're looking for an activity. They want to be a part of something. They're looking for an audience. While an introvert is more like a duck. They're very busy, but you don't see their busyness. You see a duck floating around on a pond, and you go, oh, nice duck. What you don't see is how fast they're paddling underneath, okay? A duck, cool, calm, collected, quiet on top, but paddling like crazy below. I will also add this. This thought came to me, about a year ago in this realm of personality stuff. There is no such thing as an introvert. You can disagree with that. But you take an introvert and put them in a crowd that they're comfortable with, and who's the extrovert in that crowd? The introvert. It just happens. Take an introvert, and that's a piece of my personality, but put me in a group of people that I'm more comfortable with, like you, on a Sunday. And it's easy for me then to kind of come out of that being an introvert. Well, looking at the Gospels, what would you say Jesus is? Is Jesus an extrovert or is he an introvert? Well, first we say he's an extrovert. He was always being available. He was always out there looking for somebody in need. He was out in public. He was in the marketplace. He was in the temple. He was at church all the time. There are crowds around him all the time. Jesus was an extrovert. He's walking down the street one day, and there's a little guy standing up in a tree. Jesus doesn't put the blinders on and walk by him. Jesus looks at him and says, Zacchaeus, get down out of that tree. I'm going to go to your house today, and I'm going to have supper. There's no way an introvert would have had that conversation with Zacchaeus. Absolutely no way. That's an extrovert. Jesus telling Zacchaeus, now get down out of that tree. As far as you know, Jesus and Zacchaeus had never met each other. So he calls him by name because he's God. He's God's son. Get down out of that tree. And I'm going to go to your house tonight. We're going to have supper. Men, how many of you would be in big trouble if you did that? Okay. There's Jesus as an extrovert. He's an extrovert. He sees it and he's doing something about it. Walking up to the woman at the well. It's noon. He's not even supposed to be talking to her. She's a Samaritan woman. Don't do that. Jesus, being an extrovert, walks up and has a conversation with her. Jesus is also an introvert. Jesus valued his quiet time. Mark chapter 6, verse 46. Jesus went to the mountain to pray. And in Scripture, we know that that's a piece of Jesus' personality. That's who he was. He wanted to be alone. He valued that alone time with his Father. He valued that alone time with his disciples. Hey, guys, let's just get away for a little bit. Let's go. Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. Jesus did quiet stuff very often. So you decide. Is Jesus an introvert or is he an extrovert? Well, the second one is sensing or intuition. Most of us, the people that do this stuff, would say that most of our population, we fall into this sensing or sensors category. We are realists who focus on the present and the past. We live in this moment and then we go to the past. We remember yesterdays, but not so much the future. Not so much the future. We like to use facts. We like concrete, sequential thinking, information when making important decisions. Intuitive people focus on the why. Oh, the vision. The consequences of our actions. How will they affect the future? They might be seen as big picture people as well. Well, again, what was Jesus? Was he an intuitive person or was he a sensing person? Well, we know that he cares about people, right? Wasn't that his ministry? He raises a little girl from the dead. That'd be enough. But no. Again, Mark chapter 5 tells us that Jesus raised a little girl from the dead. The family was there. And then he gave some instruction to the parents. He said, now would you feed her? Give her something good to eat. You know, go get her a Big Mac. You know, something like that. He cares about people. He cares. But then again, we go to Mark chapter 1, verse 17, and Jesus is a big picture person. What does he say to his disciples? When he's calling the disciples, what does he say? Come, follow me. No details. You're one of the disciples when you ask a question like, okay, where are we going? What are we going to be doing? Do you got any idea of what that is, Jesus? No, Jesus lays out just the big picture and says, hey, come follow me. Again, I'll ask you the question, is Jesus sensing or is he using intuition? Slide 3. Was Jesus a feeler or a thinker? A thinker, again, uses facts and impersonal criteria. More of a black and white. They seek order and logic. They value justice and fairness. Thinker. A feeling person uses none of those things in making decisions. They use their core values. They use what they're sensing inside. They value kindness and harmony. Not peacemakers, but peacekeepers. You know, well, whatever. I don't want to offend you, you know, whatever. Where do you want to go eat? Oh, I don't care. Wherever. And then you get there and they go, man, there's nothing here I like. Why did we come here? Anyway, you've been there, you've done that, right? So, back to Jesus, feeler or thinker. John chapter 8, story of the woman caught in adultery. Being a thinker person, Jesus could have said, well, the law says, yep, guys, I agree, the law says stone her. Take her out the city gates and stone her. That'd be a thinker. But what did Jesus do? He showed feeling, he showed compassion for her. And he said to the crowd, he said, hey, guys, whichever one of you is without sin, why don't you be the first to throw the stone? And then they left. And Jesus said, go. Nobody is here to condemn you. Go. But Mark tells us that Jesus went into the courtyard of the temple. What did he do in the courtyard of the temple? Tipped over a few tables. He ruffled a few feathers. What is Jesus? Is Jesus a person of feeling or is he a thinker? Who is Jesus? Finally, judger or perceiver. This tells us how Jesus was oriented to life and the world that he created. A judger likes to have a plan. Anybody here have a plan for today? You've got a plan? Okay. If you're with her, follow the plan. Good advice, it's free. Just take it. All right? A judger likes to have a plan. They like to have structure. They like systems. They like control. They like to set goals. They organize. They schedule and they make decisions for themselves and for you. If you're a judge and you're here today, you know that this is speaking to you. I hope that you've seen yourself as we've gone through these steps. But that's a judger. They're in charge. They like to make decisions, and they don't care if you disagree. They're in charge. You just better get in line because we're going. A perceiver is 180-degree opposite of that. They let life happen. They're flexible. Last-minute changes don't bother them. They're great at improvising. You know, they go someplace to eat with you, and there's nothing on the menu that they like. They'll just have a cup of coffee, and they'll be very content. Whatever. They easily adapt to whatever is happening around them. There's a book written, Move My Cheese, You Move My Cheese. You know, you've messed with the organization of my world. Oh, this person wouldn't care. Go ahead, move my cheese. I'll find it. I'm not worried about it. I'll find some more cheese. Don't worry about it. Well, once again, it's difficult to put Jesus in one box or another when it comes to personality. But then we read a passage like Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus has a plan to get away. He has a plan to get away with his disciples for a little R&R. They're going to do a little rest and relaxation. But then what happens? A crowd follows them. And not a little crowd. It's a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children. Jesus had a plan. Oh no, somebody's messed with my plan. I got 5,000 men and women and children. No, Jesus was very flexible, easy to adapt. He saw the need. He saw the need. And he not only taught them that day, he also fed them. So what's your conclusion? What's your conclusion? None of us will ever be able to match the personality type of Jesus Christ. So what's Jesus' personality isn't the point of the message. Okay? I did not just speak for 15 minutes to try to convince you that Jesus was a particular personality type. You can get on your computer and you can find people that will make that claim. I'm not going to make that claim today. The point of the message this morning is this. We all have a personality. All of us. I don't care if your personality is flat as the top of that altar. Or I don't care if it's as rough as, the roughest 100 grit sandpaper in the world. I don't care. All right? We all have a personality. All of us. All of us have a personality. That's not the point of the message. It isn't to fit Jesus in a box. But the point of the message is this, that we all have a personality. You do. I do. And again, I'll say, if you've never taken a personality test, take one. That will lead you in Bible study. It will lead you in listening to the Holy Spirit about who you are, about how people around you see you and perceive you. It's a great eye-opener into the spiritual realm. This is not a psychology thing. This is not a worldly realm. This is all focused on the spiritual realm. It will show you your strengths. It will show you your weaknesses. And all of this has an impact on your spiritual witness. If you're an extrovert and always an extrovert, there are going to be people in this room that you're going to turn off. They're going to avoid you. If you're an introvert on the other extreme, nobody's going to hear you because you're never going to tell anybody. So everybody in the middle loses. An extreme extrovert loses a crowd because they're an extrovert. An introvert doesn't have a crowd. They're content with that, but they'll never tell their God story because they're an introvert. Jesus fit in the middle. Jesus knew when to be an extrovert. He knew when to be an introvert. How did he do that? The power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. So in all areas of your personality, it's the Holy Spirit working to mold you and to make you into the likeness of Christ. The spiritual likeness of Christ. Again, will never fit there perfectly. But yet that is the desire of every Christian, every disciple of Christ, is to be more like Jesus. We need to let God, we need to let His Holy Spirit change us. change us. None of us are perfect. But I will say this, we all need a little tweaking. We all need a little tweaking. Go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. The work of the Holy Spirit in your life, if the Holy Spirit is active in your life, the Holy Spirit is working in your life to conform you to the likeness of Christ, the likeness of Jesus. And what's that all about? Again, it's not about his looks. It's not about any of that stuff. Okay? It's about your personality. It's about your spiritual personality. Your spiritual witness has a personality. Where is it going to get its personality? It's going to get its personality from you. How we act and react to life as it happens around us, that's in us. It's the Holy Spirit active in us. There is a song in your hymnal. You don't need to look it up. But the title of the song is, "Oh, to be like Thee." Oh, to be like Thee. And I truly believe that when the man wrote this back in 1897, he was probably thinking along the lines of the message this morning. Oh, to be like Thee. Do I want to be like Jesus? Yeah. Well, then what does that look like? And then he went to Scripture and he pulled out of Scripture phrases and put them into this hymn. Oh, to be like Thee. I have the words on the screen. Now, I'm going to also tell you that as I went through the song, every phrase of the song that I felt, again, this is me, but I felt, had an impact on let's say, the realm of personality, spiritual, our spiritual likeness, being like Christ, conforming to Christ, being more like Christ in all ways, how I interact, how I react, why I interact, why I do or don't. Oh, to be like Thee, right? So everything that's in red has an impact on the message, impact on your life, to be more like Christ. That's the title of the song, right? Oh, to be like Thee. So what is it like for you and me to have this as our life's mantra? Oh, to be like Thee. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of life's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. It doesn't get any stronger than that. It doesn't get any better than those words. It doesn't. You can't argue that. You can't argue against that at any point. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing in prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to wear his perfect likeness? Oh, to be like Thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinners to find. And you say, well, that's not me. That's not my personality. You better pray that the Holy Spirit changes it. You better pray that the Holy Spirit changes it. If you aren't loving, you aren't forgiving, you aren't tender, you aren't kind, you aren't compassionate, you don't care about your neighbors. There's corn out front. Take some corn to your neighbor. Cheering the fainting. Seeking the wandering sinners to find. If that's, you say, well, that's not my personality, that's not my makeup. There's one word for you, and that's sinner. Okay? You are not a disciple of Christ if the words of that verse aren't in your personality set. And maybe it's not perfect. You say, well, there's some people that I don't just don't love. Okay, then you better be praying that the Holy Spirit changes you. Changes you. Okay, God, I surrender to you. Now change me. Whatever aspect of that rubs you the wrong way, that's the focal point of your prayer life. That's what needs to be the focal point of your prayer life. That you can agree with every word that's there because it comes right out of Scripture. Oh, to be like Thee, lowly in spirit. There's that humble spirit. That's good. Holy and harmless, patient and brave. Wow, there's some conflict there. Back and forth. Meekly enduring cruel reproaches. I was with a friend, and I used that word friend as friend. And Friday night, this is a friend who stretches me a lot. A lot. He called me fat. I don't know. I might have to change that. I might. It'd be easier to change my friendship with him. But anyway. Meekly enduring cruel reproaches. And this is the guy with the pouch that beats all pouches. So anyway. I don't know. So I'm praying for him. You pray for me. Meekly enduring cruel reproaches. And you know what? Any reproach you get, if it's for your Christian witness, say amen and say thank you, Jesus. Because the world is noticing. Willing to suffer, others to save. Wow. What are you willing to give up so somebody could be saved? So somebody could come and know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. What would you be willing to suffer? What would you be willing to give up? Oh, to be like the Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. That's heaven. All that I am and have, I'm bringing. Again, that's 100% surrender. Holding nothing back, taking nothing and putting it in a little box, putting a bow around it and saying, Jesus, don't touch that. Don't touch that. That's me. That's my personality type, you know. Lord, from this moment, all shall be thine. That's that sanctification. That's that surrender point of life. And then here's the chorus that goes with the song. This is the fifth verse, sorry. Oh, to be like thee, while I am pleading. That's the prayer life. I'm pleading with you, God. Pour out your spirit. Fill with thy love. Make me a temple meet for thy dwelling. Where does the Holy Spirit live? He doesn't live in that back room. The Holy Spirit lives in each one of you that surrenders to the power of the Holy Spirit to do this in your life. Make me a temple meet for thy dwelling, fit for a life thou wouldst approve. Whose approval are you seeking in life? It's got to be God's, nobody else. If you're after somebody else's approval before you get to God, that person or that thing is your God. And God is not a part of your life. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. That's it for us as Christians. And if that is the prayer of your heart, that's the prayer of your life, for God's Holy Spirit to change you, I will say that you will see a change in your personality. You will see a change in who you are. And the friends in your family around you, your co-workers will see it as well, and they will say, what's up with you? What happened to you, Kevin? You're not the same person you were 10 years ago. And you've stood here on a Saturday morning, and you've given testimony that it's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's got to be every one of us's testimony. None of us have a perfect personality. But are you giving it to God? Are you giving it to God and saying, God, I know I'm an obnoxious extrovert. Change me. Change me. Seal my lips. Control my actions. I'm a judging person. I get upset when somebody moves my cheese. I get upset when they don't go through that left-hand turn light as fast as they should. That's your personality. That's not Christ-likeness. Pray that the Holy Spirit will change you. Because Scripture tells us that He will be faithful to change you. And what will He change you into? The likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And it will happen only as you yield to Him. As you yield to Him. Your heart, is it in your hands or is it in the hands of Jesus Christ? My prayer for us, my prayer for you is that our hearts, our personalities, who we are, the essence of who we are out of our realm. Because then when they're in our realm, we'll make a real mess of it. And we do. Give it to Christ. Give it to God. Don't blame your personality for the sinful actions in your life. Don't do that. Don't blame your personality if you're disobedient to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. It must be a prayer. God, change my heart. Change my heart. And in that prayer, you're giving God permission to change all that there is about you. Everything. Everything. Why? Because the prayer of every disciple of Jesus Christ is, O to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Jesus Christ is his name. Do you want to be like him? Then yield to the power of him in your life, and he will change you. It may take a month, it may take a year, but step back because he will change you. Because Jesus Christ came to save every sinner. Not for yourself, but for himself. And he wants you to be like him. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, if you will surrender to that. I invite you to stand this morning for prayer. Father, it's quite a thought for us to take something from the secular world like personality tests and bring it into the spiritual realm. But Father, I do see how my spiritual witness, my testimony to this community, to my neighbors, to everyone I encounter, is connected directly to my personality. And it's going to have some flaws. It's going to have some strengths. It's going to have some weaknesses. But Father, I surrender it to you. And I say, shape me, mold me, make me into your likeness. It's something that we sing many, many songs about on Sunday. Many, many passages of Scripture about it. Father, I surrender to you. And I pray for this congregation of people that we will not feel comfortable in who we are today. For Father, the constant prayer of our hearts should be, change me, change me, change me more into the likeness of Christ. And when we examine the truth of Scripture, we know that that will really never happen to its completeness here on earth, only in heaven. So there's a lot of work for you to do today in my life. For all of our lives. So, Father, we know that you're busy. But give us yielding hearts to you to shape us, to change us. Conform us to the likeness of your Son, as the psalmist told us and as Peter reminded us. That's you. That's you. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us today. Now change us. Shape us, mold, and mold us into your likeness, we pray. As we yield to you, we know that you are working in our lives. So, Father, we give you great praise today. Let us be like Christ today. Let us give you praise. Let our testimony for you today be strong. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go and be a blessing to someone today. Boys, Isaac, Manny, I want you to stand at the back door and I want you to hand out these personality tests. Everybody gets one. And whether you do it or not, that's between you and God. All right? I'm not going to grade them. Go at the back door and stand. There, Manny. Catch up to your brother.
Yeah, thank you for taking them.